Tom Brady appeared on the Dan Patrick Show to discuss his decision to unretire, as well as his upcoming broadcast career. Chris Sims ranks his top 40 quarterbacks and heavily disrespects the GOAT. And Saquon Barkley's best fit is with the Buccaneers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, joined by my esteemed co-host, Mr. David Harrison of SiriusXM fame. Now, you can check out all of David's written work over at Sports Illustrated's BucksGameDay.com. Check out mine over at SB Nation's BucksNation.com. And, of course, follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DHarrison82.
Thanks again for making us your first listen or your first view of the day. Your quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady, appeared on the Dan Patrick Show recently as part of his Hertz promotional tour. If you haven't seen the video, the commercial, I highly recommend it. And of course, while he was there, Dan asked him about his decision to return after a brief retirement, although I still say he never retired, and about his deal with NFL on Fox following the conclusion of his playing days, which will probably be in 2052. So let's hear what Tom had to say to Mr. Patrick.
Give me the day, the moment when you say to Giselle, I'm going back.
You know, we had quite a bit of time together. And I think mostly when I kind of told the team, look, like, you know, you guys got to make plans without me, you know, and then, you know, Jason and Bruce said, just give it time, you know? And I said, look, I feel pretty strongly, you know? And then, you know, time went by and then you just get super competitive, you know? And I think I'm part crazy. I mean, I think that's the reality. I mean, 45 years old and I'm out here with a lot of young guys that are trying to take my head off. And I see Aaron Donald work out on my Instagram. I'm like, damn, maybe I should have retired, you know? Because he's a beast. But, you know, I had the appetite to compete and it's going to be gone soon. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I got to, you know, just really appreciate what the time I have left because it's not a lot.
But I wonder the transition. And you know, Drew Brees went through this. Like, you get done and then he went into the studio. And that's too abrupt. Like, that's a different reality. You're going from playing to preparing for a game in a different way while you're at the site. Yeah. You're going to feel that energy. I mean, that's as close as you're going to get to playing again, it feels like. I don't know if that factored in with you wanting to be game site as opposed to studio.
Yeah, and I think that's what I've, because I'm most familiar with that, just based on the fact that I've been in every production meeting for 22 years, you know, since when I started playing in 2001. I know what those guys are asking. I know what they're asked to do. And I think it feels very much like a team that goes on the road to prepare for a game. So there's a lot of learning curve. I mean, obviously it'll be a totally new career. It's a new opportunity for me to try something that I'm going to work really hard to prepare to be as good as I possibly can be, knowing that the day that I walk on the set for the first time won't be my finest moment. There'll be, you know, a lot of growing pains and I'll have to learn to be really good at it. But I also think there's part of it that excites me is I get to travel and be around football and be around people that, you know, I've been around great mentors in my football career, you know, being blessed to get drafted by the Patriots. I was around one of the great owners in the history of the NFL, Mr. Kraft, one of the greatest head coach in NFL history in Coach Belichick. Josh McDaniels, Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel. I mean, the list goes on with the coaches that I've been around, general managers, Jason Light, Scott Pioli. I get to be around players. You know, I had the best players. You know, I was around best defensive players, offensive players. You know, I've been covered by John Madden. You know, I've been at Super Bowl media days. I've had so much experience. And, if I can help people along the way, you know, by my travels and by talking to coaches and talking to players, you know, I love the sport of football, and I get to be in it. So I think that's what mostly I got excited about. And I think part of retiring for a very brief period of time was I got to explore a lot of other opportunities, and things that just came up that, and this is the one that I really excited me the most. So, it, in the end, although it was kind of abrupt, it ended up being very, I'm happy I went through it.
All right. So Tom Brady speaking to Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show. For those of you that don't listen to Dan Patrick, I highly recommend that you do. Dan Patrick is one of the best interviewers out there. So, of course, if you are listening and you want to watch the clip, you can find it on Dan Patrick's Twitter account, which is where we found it. Look, the whole broadcasting thing is the biggest takeaway that I got from this. And I think it's a great point that Brady makes, that he's been part of these meetings. He's seen these other guys prepare for all these years, whether it's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, or it's Jim Nance and Tony Romo. And before that, I can't even remember who was with Jim Nance before Tony Romo. Was it Phil Simms? You've had Collinsworth and Al Michaels. You've had, just all these different combinations of guys throughout the years, and all the production meetings and all the media days. And I think Brady's right that it's probably going to be better for him to be in the booth than Drew Brees being in the studio. And I mean, let's be completely honest, New Orleans Saints, nonsense aside, Drew Brees was really, really bad at being an analyst. He was really, really bad doing the Notre Dame games in the booth. Some guys aren't made to do that. We saw Jason Witten be really, really bad at being an announcer, and he decided to leave the booth and go back to playing football because it was just atrocious. Maybe that does happen with Tom Brady. We don't know. And I like the self-awareness that he has, and he's like, look, my first time in the booth, it's going to be rough. There are going to be some growing pains. I am not going to be very good at this, right out of the gate. But Fox has invested 10 years and, over $300 million. So he has plenty of time to get to, mold himself into that craft. And he has plenty of time to, put in the work and the study and the hours to become as good at that as he was in football. And I'm interested to see how it plays out. Just, like you said, after 2052, when he's won his 22nd Super Bowl for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm very intrigued to see what happens, and I think it's going to go better than what Drew Brees did. And again, it has nothing to do with who Drew played football for. I mean, going back to press conferences, like let's be honest, Drew is never the most entertaining or personality filled guy in the room. Like his whole kind of shtick is like, I don't know, he's like the guy next door that coaches the little league team and takes everybody out to ice cream afterwards in his wife's minivan. Like, that's just kind of who he is. Well, that's not entertaining on Sundays, or Sunday nights or Saturday afternoons. But, I like what Tom said, as far as, it's something that he's interested in doing. So he wants to put in the effort. He's got a shot. I mean, it could be his one shot, his one opportunity to like seize what he wants and in that moment. And I mean, he's going to go capture it. He's not going to let it slip. I mean, that first day in the booth, his palms are probably going to be sweaty. His knees might be weak. His arms might be heavy. There might be vomit on his sweater already. So, you can't blame a guy for going out and taking a chance. And he's right. It might not work out. It might be something that he does and it doesn't happen. But at the end of the day, he can always say that he tried it and gave it his best. Someone else who can say that they tried something and gave it their best shot and could definitely say that it failed is former Buccaneers quarterback Chris Simms, who recently ranked the top 40 quarterbacks in the National Football League, and he really, really messed that up. We'll talk about that here in a second. Thanks to our friends over at betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. I don't know what the over-under was on David Harrison quoting Eminem on today's episode of Locked On Bucks, but if you took whatever the possibility was, you win. Find all your latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's basketball championship matchup, NHL hockey, Finals, Major League Baseball, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing and Avalanche versus Lightning. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again, Bucks Nation, for making Locked On Bucks Podcast your first listen or your first view every single day. We have an important favor to ask you. We've put together a survey so that we can learn more about our listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On Podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and what you don't like about our podcast. So go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes a survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/surveys. Thanks again for your help. Chris Sims, former Buccaneers quarterback, best known for playing through a ruptured spleen, decided to rank his top 40 quarterbacks. And I hope that Chris Sims gets his spleen back, because then maybe his rankings will be better. James, the top 40 quarterbacks look like this, which might look familiar to those who've ever thrown up their mother's spaghetti, because it's pretty much a pile of disgustingness. You know, so what's really funny is what you guys on YouTube aren't seeing is the fact that I made James laugh cry, because I'm going to cut that part out of the final production. But James, let's go through this. And I'm not trying to be that disrespectful to Chris Sims. I'm just kind of having fun in the moment now. But Sims top 40 quarterback countdown, as you see there at the top of the graphic, if you're with us on YouTube, in a font that hasn't been cool since James was in eighth grade. But it's there. Number 40, Drew Lock. Number 39, Kenny Pickett. Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew, Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills, Tyler Huntley, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, Jared Goff, Tua Tagovailoa is 29th, Marcus Mariota, Mitchell Trubisky, Jameis Winston, Jalen Hurts 25th, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Daniel Jones, Jimmy Garoppolo at 20, Carson Wentz, Mac Jones, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill at 15, Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson at 10, Dak Prescott at 9, Russell Wilson at 7, Matt Stafford at 6, Aaron Rodgers at 5, Joe Burrow at 4, Justin Herbert at 3, Patrick Mahomes at 2, Josh Allen at 1, which means for those of you listening at home, Tom Brady is number 8 on Chris Sims' list of top 40 quarterbacks.
Eighth. This is, okay.
Another Eminem reference, 8 Mile Road.
True that. Look, trying to be as unbiased as possible, there are maybe 3 quarterbacks that should be ahead of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and maybe Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And to show or try to put on display some level of unbiased, because we all know, for the especially those of you that have listened to this show for a long time, my feelings on Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston is criminally low on this list compared to what he did before his injury last year. He should be ahead of Carson Wentz. He should be ahead of Kirk Cousins. He should be ahead of Matt Ryan. Deshaun Watson shouldn't even be on the list, because we have no idea what could possibly transpire from that whole situation.
Right.
One of the few things that I will agree with on this list is Justin Fields being worse than Daniel Jones.
I disagree with that, along with a lot of other things. To go with you, right? Let's talk Jameis Winston. Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Jalen Hurts? I'm taking Jameis. I'm taking Jameis over Trevor Lawrence. I'm taking him over Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Daniel Jones, Jimmy Garoppolo, Carson Wentz, Mac Jones. And then I think Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins, like that's where you kind of get into that category where maybe you start looking otherwise, like, you know what I mean, over Jameis. So, but you're still talking top 20. And honestly, I would take Jameis over Ryan Tannehill as a pure quarterback. I would take him over Kyler, but I'm very, very biased on that. I think I'm kind of alone on that. So listen, there's a lot wrong with this, but honestly, the first problem with this entire list is the fact that you have a rookie quarterback on it at all, because you have no idea what this guy is going to be in the National Football League. None. You might think you know. You have no idea. There are a reason there are draft busts every single year, and it's because people who think they know what a person is going to do or going to be in the National Football League very, very often does not actually turn out to be that thing. So the fact that Kenny Pickett is on this list at all, to me, automatically just completely discounts even Trey Lance. Like, you haven't seen Trey Lance on a football field yet. So how are you going to put him over anybody that's actually produced on a football field? Like, to me, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. And then Tom Brady. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking pure athleticism, maybe, but even that's not a criteria, because let's be honest, Dak Prescott, better athlete than Tom Brady. So is Lamar Jackson. So is Kyler Murray. I would actually be willing to venture that Deshaun Watson probably still a better athlete than Tom Brady is. Like, so if you're going off of athleticism, then Tom Brady's actually got to be further down your list. But because you have other guys behind him that aren't in that category, I mean, Russell Wilson, like if you're in the fourth quarter, you're down by 4 points and it's a last drive of the game, I would take Tom Brady over Russell Wilson, over Matt Stafford, over Joe Burrow, over Justin Herbert, and over Josh Allen, to be quite honest with you. Patrick Mahomes, I think you have the discussion there. Aaron Rodgers, I don't want Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady, but I think people are going to point to back-to-back MVPs, even though Tom Brady should have been the MVP of this last season. So, I mean, again, if you're asking me, like, top five, you got Patrick Mahomes. I'm still probably going to put number one, even though he's kind of starting to fall down a little bit. Aaron Rodgers, I'll give him the tip of the cap just because he is the back-to-back MVP winner, whether I like it or not. I'm putting Tom Brady number three there because all three of those guys have shown the ability to literally will their teams to victory. And to me, that's what dictates greatness. I haven't seen Josh Allen will his team to victory or Justin Herbert. Joe Burrow, maybe, but I give that AFC championship win more to the defense than I do Joe Burrow. And I love Joe Burrow. So yeah, I mean, just a lot wrong with this. All jokes aside, you know, rankings are rankings and people are going to disagree with them. Someone watching this or listening to the conversation probably disagrees with us, and that's perfectly fine, or they're just highly offended that I would ever introduce Eminem into our show.
Well, number one, Eminem's fantastic.
Yes. Have you heard the new Eminem song from the Elvis Presley biopic?
I heard about it. I have not listened to it yet.
Very good. I highly recommend it.
Okay. Well, I mean, my son has like a Spotify playlist to pump him up before hockey games, and it's like 30% Eminem, like 30% Linkin Park, and then the other 40% is just a random mix of rap and rock, and it's fantastic. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, the most bothersome thing to me on this list is Wilson, Stafford, Herbert, Burrow all being ahead of Brady. Herbert has no business being above Burrow or Rodgers or Stafford or Wilson at this point in time. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love Herbert. I think he is a ton of fun to watch, but you need to like flip-flop Brady and Herbert, and we're on our way to fixing this list. Right. Like, that's a huge, huge step to getting this list right. But,
And Daniel Jones needs to be way lower than where he is. Like,
as long as you're moving Fields down with him.
Fields, I would still move Fields down as well, just not as far down as you would. But I mean, there are quarterbacks on this list that I would immediately take over Daniel Jones. And I mean, we're getting into the category where it's not even so much how good that other guy is versus how bad Daniel Jones can be. But like, I would take Jared Goff over Daniel Jones if I'm the New York Giants. That's, again, you're not really winning per se, but you have a quarterback in Jared Goff that isn't going to lose you games as much as Daniel Jones is going to.
Yeah, and that's one of the names that I was actually just looking at when you said that. And I would take Tua over Daniel Jones.
I would just send both Daniel and Tua to the XFL.
Yikes. Can't say that I disagree, though. Also, Mitchell Trubisky has no business being in the top 30.
No. There's just a lot of assumptions happening with this list, kind of like your Star Wars theories.
We're going to move away from that with the quickness. Look, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been named the top landing spot for Saquon Barkley. We discuss that idea in a moment. But first, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money When using Rock Auto, why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Not only that, but Rock Auto is a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low, and they are the same for every single customer. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts and tail lamps to motor oil, even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Just write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Wrapping things up here on a Friday edition of Locked On Bucks podcast. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were named as the top destination for New York Giants running back Saquon Barkley in an article from Bleacher Report. So Christopher Knox of Bleacher Report listed 8 players and their best fits with other NFL teams. One of the names he brought up was Saquon Barkley, tying them to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, saying, quote, "Tampa Bay Buccaneers are ready to win now and could use another dual threat running back after losing Ronald Jones II in free agency. Tampa has $10.5 million in cap space available and could afford to add Barkley as another outlet option for Tom Brady. Barkley's contract situation may be easier to take for the Bucs than for other teams. Having Barkley on a one-year deal isn't as much of an issue for a team that may enter full-blown rebuild if Brady retires for real this time next offseason," end quote. David, I'm going to let you go after this one first, since I dove into the quarterback rankings first, but a whole lot of yikes happening here.
Tom Brady has a better chance of winning a rap battle against Chris Sims than Saquon Barkley has of being a Buccaneer this season.
Yeah, that is something I would actually enjoy watching.
The rap battle or Saquon Barkley playing for the Buccaneers?
Definitely the rap battle.
You know, here's the funny thing. I pulled up over the cap, right? Because the first salvo I was going to fire in completely dismantling this opinion is that the Buccaneers would be paying $7.8 million to a backup running back. But do you know who the highest paid backup running back is right now? It's Nyheim Hines of the Indianapolis Colts. He's making $6.2 million on average to be a backup running back. I mean, it's a $1.5 million difference, you know what I mean? Which is just significant, but in NFL dollars, that's actually not that significant. So that kind of actually takes away my first argument, which would be that $7.8 million is way too much to pay for RB number two. I think that the Buccaneers are good with what they've done. Gio Bernard, Rashad White, Keyshawn Vaughn, a combination of the three of them, along with Leonard Fournette, like, that's good. Now, if Leonard Fournette gets injured, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But if Leonard Fournette gets injured, okay, maybe we have a conversation, because Saquon, when he's healthy, is still a very good running back. I would no longer say he's one of the best backs in the National Football League, but I would say that he's still a very good running back, and you pair him again with Rashad White, Keyshawn Vaughn, Giovanni Bernard. I think it's a much more equitable split between all the running backs in that situation, but he does bring you a level of competitive balance that you could use. But again, that's only if you lose Leonard Fournette. So while Leonard Fournette is healthy, there's no reason to make this trade.
I'm also curious who the highest paid backup is after Nyheim Hines, because he's also a return specialist for them. So he's not just solely the backup.
I mean, Chase Edmonds is $6.05 million. I don't know if he's a backup in Miami or not, to be quite honest with you. Kareem Hunt is $6 million, and he is the backup to Nick Chubb.
That's another... See, that's when we get into these sticky, like, 1A, 1B situations.
Yeah. Penny is 5.75 behind Carson in Seattle. Kenyon Drake, 5.5 behind Brandon Jacobs. But Brandon Jacobs had his fifth-year option declined. Cordarrelle Patterson is the number one. Gus Edwards, $4 million, I suppose, in Baltimore. Either way, like, some backup running backs, for as much as running backs get diminished in today's game,
right?
There's some backup running backs making some money.
Yeah. Now, my biggest thing about this Saquon situation is Christopher Knox, you know, references the cap space available. Well, they still have to sign Gronk. That's still going to happen. It's still kind of an inevitability. So they don't have $10.5 million. We don't know how much they would end up paying Gronk, probably somewhere in the range of 10 to 12 million with deferred money and all that stuff that they use to circumvent the cap that every team uses. And then, yeah, that's still, you're looking at a situation where they would have to give up higher capital to get Barkley and have the Giants eat more of the money. And that's just not something that's going to happen. It doesn't make sense on a lot of different levels. I could see this making a lot more sense if Leonard Fournette didn't just sign a 3-year deal, right? If they were trotting out there with Rashad White and Keyshawn Vaughn and Gio Bernard, yeah, then you pull the trigger on this move. But you don't have a need for Saquon Barkley with Leonard Fournette there, plus what you're getting out of Vaughn, what you're getting out of White, what you're getting out of Gio. It makes more sense for them if you're going to pay a big name player that is going to cost some serious money, you go get Odell Beckham Jr. for the playoff push when he's recovered from ACL surgery. Yeah, that's the move that you make that makes more sense, because now you're throwing him in the mix with Evans and Godwin and Gage and Scooter and Perryman if he doesn't get traded to the Cowboys, which is just ridiculous, you know, nonsense.
Chris Sims came up with that one?
Probably. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun to talk about on paper. It doesn't make any logistical sense for the Buccaneers to make a move for Saquon Barkley.
I don't even think it's actually that fun to talk about on paper, to be quite honest with you, for all the reasons you basically just laid out there. But, you know, it is what it is, and that's kind of the time of the season that we're in. We're into the offseason, and thankfully in the NFL, that's only 1 month long because we've got training camp stirring up at the end of July.
Yeah, we do. And then you and I are packing our bags and heading to Florida so that we can tell Tua that he's terrible.
We won't need to. He already is aware.
Yeah.
I promise you that Tyreek Hill has already told him that.
No, but Tyreek Hill said that Tua is better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's not a thing. That is true. Like, him saying it is true, but the things that he said were not true. We kind of like Clarence being a gangster, when in fact Clarence goes to private school
and lives at home with his parents.
Lives at home with both parents.
And his parents have a real good marriage.
They have a real good marriage.
He don't want to battle. He shook. Ain't no such things as halfway crooks. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucks podcast your first listen of the day. Some of you, this might be the last time you listen to us, but we appreciate you anyway. The first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft have been made. Search now for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports experts, the draft experts of Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today. We will be back on Monday with, I don't know, maybe we're going to quote Jay-Z the entire episode. If you want us to reference crazy and outrageous songs, send in those recommendations and nominees to LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com or give us a call at 813-444-5841. We also accept questions about the Buccaneers or topic discussions you would like to have heard on this show. For David Harrison, I am James Yarko. Check out all of his written work over at BucksGameDay.com. Check out mine over at BucksNation.com. And, of course, follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another, fire those cannons. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.